I'm Tara Merchaner. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, escalation in Los Angeles as President Trump sends more troops to quiet protesters in California. How many troops are now present and what they're doing.
We believe that ICE, which is a federal law enforcement agency, has the right to safely conduct operations in any state and any jurisdiction in the country.
Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth faces questions on Capitol Hill why he's on the hot seat today. Disturbing outcome. The New York State Senate passes a measure easing medically assisted suicide. What this means for the fight for life. Plus, hometown celebration. We speak with the chaplain of the Chicago White Sox ahead of a special mass at the ballpark for Pope Leo XIV. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
And thank you so much for being with us. Our top story tonight. President Donald Trump says all he wants is safety and that Los Angeles was under siege until we got there. His comments come as Marines and additional National Guard troops head to Los Angeles in response to protests, some violent over immigration raids. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Tara, in the Oval Office today, President Donald Trump told reporters the National Guard will be there until there's no danger, and then they'll leave.
With members of his cabinet standing near him, President Donald Trump describing the scenes coming out of California as terrible.
People with big, heavy hammers pounding the concrete and pounding curbs, pounding it, breaking up, and handing these big chunks of concrete to people. And they were taking that concrete, going up on bridges and dropping it into the roof of a car. They were throwing it at our police. They were throwing it at our soldiers.
President Trump defending his decision to send in another 2,000 National Guard troops along with 700 Marines.
If we didn't get involved right now, Los Angeles would be burning just like it was burning a number of months ago with all the houses that were lost. Los Angeles right now would be on fire, and we have it in great shape.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem also addressed reporters.
He has every authority under the Constitution to send these National Guard under Title 10 into these communities and make sure that operations go smoothly, that law enforcement officers are protected.
And Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders told us President Trump was right to step in and send troops.
Well, I think it's absurd that they've allowed what is going on in California to take place. The fact that they're choosing rioters and criminals over American law enforcement is absolutely absurd.
But across the country, opposition to the president's actions. Governor Gavin Newsom posting on X, U.S. Marines serve a valuable purpose for this country, defending democracy. They are not political pawns. The Secretary of Defense is illegally deploying them onto American streets so Trump can have a talking point at his parade this weekend. The governor's office on its website today says it filed an emergency motion to block Trump. California's attorney general says President Trump has been engaged in an unlawful power grab.
He has tried to seize authority he does not have. He cannot lawfully deploy the National Guard to Los Angeles, period, full stop.
And more pushback from California.
It is certainly not helping. It's pretty unprecedented that we have a president turning the military on its own people.
In that Oval Office news conference, President Trump also reminded reporters that Los Angeles will be hosting the next Olympics, and he doesn't want people looking at L.A. like it was or like it would have been had he not sent in those troops. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
All right, Owen, scary situation there. Thank you. Well, after speaking at the White House, the president boarded Air Force One to go to Fort Bragg in North Carolina. There, the president observed training exercises and addressed soldiers. This Saturday marks the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Army, and there will be a military parade here in Washington, D.C. in celebration. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth testifying before a House panel today and facing a number of questions about the deployment of troops to Los Angeles amid protests over that immigration crackdown. It is the first time he's been on the Hill since being sworn in 5 months ago. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales joins us now with the latest. Eric.
Well, good evening, Terry. Yes, Secretary Hegseth was originally here to talk about the administration's 2026 budget request, but part of today's hearing did focus on the Pentagon's decision to send some 4,800 National Guardsmen, including some 700 Marines, to Los Angeles after the violence broke out. Democrats questioned that decision.
But then something else happened this weekend, and it needs to be addressed. And that is the president's premature and escalatory decision to deploy not only the National Guard troops to Los Angeles, but active duty Marines as well.
So in Los Angeles, we believe that ICE, which is a federal law enforcement agency, has the right to safely conduct operations in any state and any jurisdiction in the country, especially after 21 million illegals have crossed our border under the previous administration.
Secretary Hegseth also got into a heated exchange with Democrat Pete Aguilar.
If you've got millions of illegals and you don't know where they're coming from, they're waving flags from foreign countries and assaulting police officers and law enforcement officers, that's a problem.
The laws of the United States?
No, the governor of California is unable to execute the laws of the United States.
Democrats also scolded the secretary for failing to release a DOD budget for the next fiscal year, which was due in February.
We have zip, nada, and knowing where you're going. You can talk percentages, you can talk about whatever you want, but unless this committee sees dollars and cents and where you're going and what your plan is, then we may reconsider what you need to do to go forward. Give us the details.
Congresswoman, we have the details and we will provide
them. Let's have them.
The violence in Los Angeles prompted Republicans to press for the passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill.
One of the many great provisions in this bill that we came together to pass through the House are provisions that allow our ICE agents and our Border Patrol agents to get more resources, to get more support, hiring more Border Patrol agents and more ICE agents.
Democrats continue to say President Trump is stoking the violence.
I support peaceful protest. It's the foundation in many ways to our nation. It's guaranteed in our Constitution. But bluntly, at the end of the day, much of this is a distraction generated by our reality TV president.
President Donald Trump publicly voiced his support for the arrest of California Governor Gavin Newsom. The Speaker of the House was asked his opinion.
That's not my lane. I'm not going to give you legal analysis on whether Gavin Newsom should be arrested, but he ought to be tarred and feathered, I'll say that. I mean, look, he's standing in the way of the administration and the carrying out of federal law.
Secretary Hegseth was asked by lawmakers, what's the cost to send National Guard troops and Marines to Los Angeles? Well, after persistent questioning, it was then that Hegseth said about $134 million. Hegseth adds that he's in regular contact with the president and his troops on the ground. After his testimony, he then traveled to North Carolina to join President Trump at Fort Bragg. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
Overseas heartbreak in Europe after a deadly school shooting in Austria. It happened in the city of Graz. Police were called to the scene around 10 o'clock this morning, local time. In all, 11 were killed and 11 others injured. One of the dead, the gunman himself, who took his own life. The Austrian chancellor called today one of the darkest in the country's history.
Der Amoklauf an einer Schule hier in Graz.
There are no words to express the pain, bewilderment, and grief. The entire Austrian nation is in shock. My thoughts and deepest sympathies are with the bereaved, the families, and those who have lost a child.
The name of the gunman has not been yet released, but we do know he was 21 and a former student at that school. The bishop and auxiliary bishop of Grasse-Sakau responded to the shooting, saying, "Our deepest sympathy goes out to the pupils, the teaching staff, and their families. This insane act leaves us stunned and shocked." The UK and other nations have imposed sanctions on two Israeli government ministers for allegedly inciting extremist violence against Palestinians in the West Bank.
Today, we are making a decision also to stand against those who encourage abuses of human rights, also to stand against those who encourage violence against Palestinian people.
Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich have supported expanding Israeli settlements in the West Bank and are facing asset freezes and travel bans. Meanwhile, Palestinian health officials say more are dead and wounded after Israeli officials fire on a crowd of Palestinians heading to an aid site in Gaza. Meanwhile, Ukrainian officials say several are dead and more than a dozen injured after another wave of Russian drones and missiles hit Kiev and Odessa. Authorities say a maternity hospital and residential buildings were damaged in that attack. The barrage comes just a day after Moscow launched almost 500 drones at Ukraine in the biggest bombardment of the war. We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly. Bishops warn of a looming nightmare in New York. After the Senate passes an assisted suicide bill, what is in that bill and what it could lead to? Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. dismisses a panel of vaccine advisors. Kennedy said the group is, quote, plagued with conflicts of interest. He said the 17-member advisory committee for immunization practices will be retired and replaced with new members. The panel historically guides the federal government's vaccine recommendations. It is unclear when Kennedy will appoint the new panel members. Four states, Alabama, Florida, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, will be exercising the death penalty this week. All of the inmates set to die were convicted of at least one murder. Two of those executions are scheduled for today. An Alabama man will be taking the life of 65-year-old Gregory Hunt for his role in the 1988 murder of Karen Lane. In an appeal to halt his execution, Hunt admitted to killing Lane. The Alabama Department of Corrections will use nitrogen hypoxia. Now, this method requires an individual to be strapped down and breathe pure nitrogen gas until the lack of oxygen causes them to suffocate to death.
The method of execution utilizing nitrogen hypoxia is quite problematic. I mean, for one thing, it's no longer used for animals because it tends to cause panic and distress. And the last time it was tried in Alabama, it was really a botched execution.
Alabama introduced this method of execution, nitrogen hypoxia, just last year in January of 2024. It has since been adopted in several other states as well. Hunt's execution will be Alabama's third of the year. Florida carried out their death sentence for Anthony Wainwright today. He was convicted of the 1994 murder of Carmen Gayhart. The Florida Department of Corrections used lethal injection, which has also raised ethical concerns for its potential to cause pain and suffering.
Over time, pharmaceutical companies have said, we don't want these drugs used in this way to take life. And so many companies have said they don't want to sell lethal injection drugs to states for the purpose of killing.
The Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops last week urged Governor DeSantis to stop Wainwright's execution and commute his sentence to life without parole. Now, the church, of course, opposes the death penalty. The Catechism states, in light of the gospel, the death penalty is inadmissible because it's an attack on the inviolability and dignity of the person. And a sad day in New York as the state Senate votes to approve a bill allowing medically assisted suicide. It was passed in a 35-27 vote, mostly along party lines, though several Democrats did vote against it. New York now joins 11 other states in the District of Columbia in allowing assisted suicide. It now goes to the governor's desk. The New York State Catholic Conference issued this statement saying, in part, this bill would be catastrophic for medically underserved communities, including communities of color, as well as for people with disabilities and other vulnerable populations. We reject the false notion that suicide is ever a solution. Instead, we call on New York State to expand palliative and hospice care, mental health services, and family caregiver support. And joining us now is Catherine Lopez. She is a senior fellow at the National Review Institute. Thank you for coming on today. First of all, in short, what is this bill about?
Well, this bill is assisted suicide. It's legalizing suicide. And one of the ridiculous things about this whole debate is if you right now went to Google to search for assisted suicide in New York, you would actually get the 800 number for the suicide hotline because Google would be worried that you or I were trying to kill ourselves, and that's bad. However, in New York and the other places that you mentioned, the other 11 places you've mentioned, if a doctor prescribes it, it's okay. This makes no sense. It makes no moral sense, but it makes no rational sense. Why? And Cardinal Dolan wrote about this in the Wall Street Journal. Why in some cases are we trying to protect people from suicide, and in other cases, we're driving them toward assisted suicide, suicide period. And we see that. We've seen that happen in Canada. We've seen that happen many places. And one of the striking things about the debate yesterday is a number of members, some of them who describe themselves as Catholic, who voted for legalized assisted suicide, even admitted that there are problems with it elsewhere. But they didn't choose to err on the side of life. They chose to err on the side of death instead, putting vulnerable people in harm's way.
It now goes to the desk of New York Governor Kathy Hochul, who is Catholic, right? You just mentioned that. And a spokesman for her office says it's unclear whether she will sign it. The governor has signed legislation to help prevent suicide and promote mental health. Your thoughts?
Please, if you're watching this right now, pray for a miracle. You know, Kathy Hochul has made New York an abortion destination, tourist destination. She's very enthusiastic about making sure that unborn can be killed. So we don't have high hopes. However, we are praying for a miracle. She just recently, the president tweeted an AI-generated picture of him in a mitre shortly before the conclave, and Kathy Hochul said that she was deeply offended as a Catholic. All right, I'll roll with that. Let's be deeply offended by the vulnerable being killed by doctors. All I can say at this point is please pray for a miracle that we don't actually legalize this, but it's a small chance.
As you know, the bill was introduced a decade ago by Assemblywoman Amy Paulin after she'd watched her sister die from an extraordinarily painful cancer. And she reasoned the bill offered compassion in the difficult circumstances. So what is the counter argument to that?
Well, so many of these painful stories that we hear don't talk about the alternatives to assisted suicide, which include palliative care, which include the time that you're given with a person. You know, there was a piece in the New York Times just at the end of the year where a writer talked about his sister's assisted suicide. And right before it happened, the pills were there, the family was gathered, she cried and she said, "I want more time." Well, we all want more time, but once we take the pills, there's no more time. And J.J. Hansen in New York is just such a beloved memory to so many of us who knew him. He had brain cancer. He was given 4 months to live. He and his wife decided to fight as long as they could and get treatment. And he lived for a year and a half three and a half years after, and they had a son during that period of time, and he did ultimately die of brain cancer, but it was managed for a period of time, and that's mm-hmm. memories that he and his wife and two sons will always have.
Right. Obviously, a lot of sad stories here and a lot of people watching what happens with this. Thank you, Catherine, for joining us. We'll be watching.
Thank you, Tara.
All right, up next on EWTN News Nightly, thousands of the faithful gather in Ireland. We'll tell you what it has to do with the rosary. Plus, a story about Pope Leo XIV that really hits home. well-known prayer initiative in Ireland dedicated to the rosary enters a new decade. This past weekend, thousands of the faithful flocked to Knock Shrine for the 40th All-Ireland Rosary Rally. Several hundred people joined together to form a human rosary. The event also included Mass and a keynote address from Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. One priest says Monsignor Rossetti's message with prayer and turning to Jesus and Mary, we should fear nothing in our lives. The 18th major jubilee event took place in Rome, led by Pope Leo, the Jubilee of the Holy See. It is aimed at recognizing and celebrating the work and ministry of those working at the Vatican. The event culminated in a Mass in St. Peter's Basilica. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Settergren has more.
Since the beginning of the year, hundreds of groups have walked through the holy door of St. Peter's Basilica, carrying the official cross and central symbol of the 2025 Year of Hope. For the Jubilee of the Holy See, celebrated for all the administrative offices of the Church, the procession was led by Pope Leo himself, who carried the cross like an ordinary pilgrim. The Jubilee began with a meditation offered by Sister Maria Gloria Riva, a sister of the Blessed Sacrament and Our Lady, who spoke about the Eucharist as a sacrament of our hope.
Il grande anelito di Gesù.
Jesus' greatest longing is connected to hope, that all may be one. The Eucharist is a viaticum for this eternal hope that wonderfully ties together past, present, and future. We also know that in the Eucharist, the unity of all people is both signified and produced.
È significata e prodotta.
Following Sister Riva's talk, the officials of the Roman Curia processed together with Pope Leo through the holy door to St. Peter's Basilica, where he celebrated Mass. As the Jubilee fell on the same day as the liturgical feast of Mary, Mother of the Church, Pope Leo reflected in his homily on this happy coincidence and the spiritual foundations of the Apostolic See.
The Holy See experiences in a very special way the coexistence of the two poles, the Marian and the Petrine. It is precisely the Marian pole, with its motherhood, gift of Christ and of the Spirit, that ensures the fruitfulness and holiness of the Petrine pole.
Dono di Cristo e dello Spirito.
Pope Leo thanked the employees and the officials of the Roman Curia for safeguarding the holiness of her roots and for bearing witness to the fruitfulness of Mary and the Church when they carry on their work with commitment. But, he added, the fruit cannot be born without sacrifice.
All the fruitfulness of the Church and of the Holy See depends on the cross of Christ. Otherwise, it is only appearance, if not worse.
Se non peggio.
In Rome, Benedict Zedegrian, EWTN News Nightly.
And finally tonight, over the years, the Chicago White Sox have hosted Angels and Cardinals, and on Saturday, their stadium is set for a video message from a Pope. It is part of a special event honoring Pope Leo in his hometown. A nearly sold-out crowd at Raitt Field, home of the White Sox, will watch a video highlighting the Holy Father's Chicago roots. Pope Leo will greet participants in a recorded message before Mass at 4 p.m. Local media report that 10,000 tickets at $5 each were sold in the first 15 minutes. For more, we turn to Father Bill McFarland, chaplain for the Chicago White Sox, who will be in attendance on Saturday. Father Bill, thanks for joining us. Wow, it sounds like the response has been really great. And what's it specifically been like in Chicago for the Mass for Pope Leo? Tickets at $5 apiece? That never even happens.
Everybody's excited, including the White Sox organization, and all Catholics were very happy about this event coming up. And it's just one of those things. I think it surpassed everybody's expectations and how big this is going to be.
Yeah, it's amazing. I also understand the Chicago White Sox Stadium was selected before it was apparent the new Pope was a huge fan of the team.
Yes, it was. And I was there a couple of weeks ago for the dedication of the chair that he sat in 2005. It's section 140, row 19, seat number 2. And they dedicated that seat to him. And you're showing pictures right now from the event. It was a wonderful event. So
fun.
And everybody wanted to sit in the chair and take a picture sitting in the Pope's chair, including myself, including myself.
Of course. Well, take us back to the election of Pope Leo XIV just last month. What was the reaction in Chicago when people learned the new pope was from that city? So many were surprised.
I think everybody was surprised. I think most of us never expected an American pope to be elected during the time of during our lifetime. And here he is from Chicago and Dalton, Illinois. And it seems to me since he's been elected, I've met more people that know him or met him or had some sort of connection to him since he's been elected. And I've met him before when he was Bishop Prevost, and his brother John worked at St. Gabriel's, my home parish, and I met him at St. Rita High School, which is an Augustinian high school here on the south side of Chicago. So, but it seems to me like everybody from Chicago met him at one time or another. So it's been fun. It's all fun.
Absolutely. So. Yes. Good times and more to come for sure. Father Bill McFarland, chaplain for the Chicago White Sox, we appreciate you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tara Merchant. Good night and God bless.